Welcome to episode 23 of Lifting the Kilt on Men's Health, a podcast series run by Men's Health Down Under. Each episode, we focus on a different area of men's health. And today we have Brad Butt, pharmacist and founder of Men's Health Down Under, here to discuss innovative ways in which you can take your medication. Hi, Brad. I just thought you took your medicine however it came. I don't really understand what this topic's all going to be about.
Well, this is a bread and butter topic for a pharmacist. This is what we went to university and studied all about. This is pharmacology, pharmacokinetics. This is the good stuff. So I'll nerd out here. Look, really, really simple one. This one. I guess the whole point of this is that you don't necessarily need to be locked into a medication that has been prescribed, you know, by the doctor. And what I mean by that is, in Australia, we've got, well, anywhere around the world, you've got what we call a proprietary product. A proprietary product is a product that you go to the chemist with your script and they put a sticker on it and they give it to you and out it comes. And it's the same one that you can get in Canberra or in Sydney, Melbourne. It's common everywhere. So this is what we call a proprietary product. And it's a basic product that a big pharmaceutical company has made that caters to the masses. So that's a proprietary product. And Viagra, as an example, is a proprietary product. So the doctor prescribes you 100 milligrams of Viagra, 4 tablets for as needed use, take half an hour prior to planned intercourse and Bob's your uncle. And that's great. That's fine. For a lot of blokes, that is absolutely fine. Viagra, fine. No problems. There's a bunch of different erectile drugs. You know, there's 4 different ones in Australia. And, you know, generally speaking, one of them will be fine for the bloke. What we know, though, is that as time goes on and you use these drugs more and more over the years, it sort of accumulates, they can become less effective. Well, let me rephrase that. It's not that they necessarily become less effective. It's just that whatever's causing the problem has got worse. So if you've got high cholesterol and blood pressure, which is pretty common for men, your cholesterol hasn't been kept in good order, you know, your blood flow to the penis isn't going to be as good. Or if the blood pressure hasn't been as controlled as well as it should, you know, you've missed a few pills here and there, the blood pressure can damage the little blood vessels in the penis, therefore the blood doesn't get in as well. And that can lead to worsening erectile dysfunction. So the typical case, Warwick, would be, you know, oh, when I was 50, the Viagra was fine. I took 100 milligrams and it was great. But now that I'm 60, it's not working. You know, it's really hit and miss. You know, so the doctor's prescribed a different one. They've prescribed Cialis or Levitra or Spedra. But, you know, it worked a bit. Now it's not working either. And we see this a lot. And I think it's really important to note this because there's nothing more frustrating for a guy that's got just an uncomplicated erectile dysfunction than the medication was working, now it's not. And, you know, you start wondering what's going on. So what we can do is, and this is where the innovation part comes in, is these medications can be prepared in different dose forms. So to give you an example, Cialis, which is tadalafil, comes as a 5, a 10, a 20 milligram tablet, and they're fine generally. But we can also put it into a sublingual. Sublingual means under the tongue, a little film. So it's a super thin film. This is only something that's brand new that's been worked on with the University of South Australia. It's a little film that would be half a millimetre thick and perhaps 7 millimetres wide by about 12 millimetres long. So you get the idea. It's like half the size of a postage stamp and super thin. Comes in a film. It's got the tadalafil impregnated into it. And you pop it under your tongue, and it's absorbed from under your tongue. Now, you may all say, well, what's the benefit of that? And let me tell you, the benefit, quite simply, is when you swallow a medication, so a tablet, it goes into your tummy. From your tummy, it's absorbed into the blood. And then the body's pretty clever. It doesn't like chemicals and things going into it that shouldn't be there that can hurt it. So everything, when you absorb it from your stomach, your intestines, goes into the blood, and then it goes to the liver, and the liver smashes it all up and gets rid of all the toxins and poison and drugs and chemicals. It breaks it all up and spits it out. And as you can imagine, if you've just had an erectile drug, for example, it's just gone to the liver. It's been hammered up and broken down. Some of it still comes out intact, and that's what goes off to the penis and makes erection stronger. But a lot of it's been lost by the liver breaking it up, metabolizing it. So when we put the medication under the tongue in the little film, it's absorbed from the oral cavity. So from the mouth under the tongue, it goes straight into the blood vessels. And if you lift up your tongue in the mirror and have a look at it, you can actually see a couple of big blood vessels on the underside of the tongue. So the medication is in the mouth, it's absorbed into the blood vessels. And then those blood vessels, interestingly, they don't go straight to the liver so the drug's all smashed up. That drug goes into the blood and it goes all through the body before it gets to the liver and is metabolized. So, you know, using the example of the Viagra, if you put the Viagra in a tablet and swallow it, gets broken down to the liver, it might become, you know, 50% less effective. If we put it under the tongue and absorb it from a little film, all of a sudden we get 100% of that Viagra doing the job that it was designed to do. So what you tend to find is the effect is better. It becomes stronger, if you will. The other thing that happens is that it works quicker. So because the absorption is straight into the blood and off to the penis, the drug will work more quickly. And that's true for a lot of drugs that are absorbed from you know, the oral, this sublingual or subbuccal. Subbuccal is where it's, some of the medications come in a lozenge and they go between the teeth and the cheek. And again, you absorb it from the cheek straight into the blood. So these medications, because they go straight into the blood and off to the desired location, they will work more quickly. So there's benefit in that as well. So if you find that, you know, your Viagra doesn't kick in quickly enough, then you can actually get it in a wafer that goes under the tongue and it's going to work more quickly and stronger.
Brandon, why would, whoever makes Pfizer, I think, makes Viagra.
Yeah.
How come they don't have it in this alternate dose form? Because I assume it's like that joke where, you know, someone goes, you know, you've got, you know, the headache tablet and you've got the rapid headache tablet. It's like, well, why would you want to get rid of your headache slowly? Yeah. You know, of course you want the rapid one. I mean, why would they not have this like commercially available? Because I would have thought that's like part of the problem with Viagra is that fact that you've got to prepare. You've got to give yourself that half hour's kind of notice.
Well, I guess traditionally the pharmaceutical industries have traditionally worked on the use of tablets and capsules. They're cheap to formulate, and that's probably the main reason. So, you know, when they make tablets, the drug gets mixed with all the fillers and glidants and colorings and God knows what else in a big hopper, and then it spits it out, and the tablet press just bang, 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 knocks them out, and you know, you fill up your foils or bottles and sell them to the mass market. The trouble probably in part is that it's a slightly more costly process to build them into a different carrier. So for the film, you know, there's greater cost that's incurred in doing that. And probably, I guess, the other reason, if you look at things like Viagra, it's been around since the 90s. And, you know, believe it or not, that's actually, you know, best part of 30 years ago now. So in 30 years, there's been a lot of changes to in the innovation space around drug delivery. And for a drug like Viagra that's off patent, you know, and four Viagra pills is going to cost you about $10. There's not a lot of incentive for a company like Pfizer to invest money in doing the research and development to bring a product to market that has better absorption properties. So they don't really have the need to, and people generally will find that Viagra works okay, but I think the critical bit will be these medications or these alternate dose forms, particularly the film that we've just talked about. These are for guys that are perhaps finding the traditional drug forms aren't doing what they need it to. There is a proprietary product that comes in a wafer called Wafsil, which is a Viagra sildenafil is the drug in it, preparation that you can get. And it's interesting, you know, it's not hugely popular in Australia, probably because a lot of people don't know about it. So when a drug company designs a drug, it's not only the money and time and energy that goes into the research and development around how to do it and you know, how much better it's going to be. But it's also then about selling the drug to physicians so they prescribe it. And there's quite a cost involved in that as well. So that's where we're sort of seeing these drugs that have gone off patent. So patent protection just prohibits another company making a copy of it, be it a generic or even a compounder, say, making their own in a different dose form. The patent protections are pretty good. But with a lot of patent expiries on things like Viagra, Cialis and the likes, we're finding that these alternative dose forms are becoming more popular and offering the general consumer, the patient, you know, an alternative to what was always the traditional tablet dose. And, you know, so there's films. So they're good. They work a bit quicker. They are more potent and therefore they have a better effect. They've got to be made by a compounding pharmacy. And to my knowledge, there's only one compounding pharmacy, and they're not even a compounding pharmacy. They're more than that. They're almost like a laboratory based in Adelaide that make these films, and they're quite remarkable, the film. So there's only one of them in the Southern Hemisphere, as far as I'm aware, that do it. And Australia's leading the charge on that with the University of South Australia. So kudos to those guys. So if you think, yeah, that sounds like something that might be beneficial to me, by all means, get in touch, and we'll talk about how you can get in touch later. We'll tell you what your doctor needs to prescribe and how it all works, if that's of benefit. Yeah, so it's pretty niche, but certainly it's a really good option for those that have found things aren't working as well as they should. Or if the guy's had prostate cancer, I always talk about, you know, skewing the odds in your favour. You know, if you're going to go to the casino, you want to play the game that's got the best odds so that you're more likely to win. And it's the same with the drugs, right? So, you know, if the odds are against you, you want to give yourself the best chance of getting a successful outcome. And this is these films, lozenges as well, are one way of putting yourself in a better position to get a good outcome. And then you've got all sorts of other interesting things like intraurethral gels. I know Tim, who's one of the pharmacists here at Men's Health Down Under, did a really interesting video on YouTube on intraurethral gels. And these are a gel that's formulated with the erectile drugs that are often injected. So Trimix or Alprostadil, there's two different types. And they can be compounded into a special gel. It's about half a mil, a bit over half a mil of gel. And in just not with a needle on a syringe, but just a standard syringe with a blunt plastic tip, it's inserted into the urethra, so the eye of the penis, the tip of the penis, and gently you put the gel, press the gel from the syringe into the urethra, and it's absorbed into the penis, and it can be quite effective for producing an erection as well. So it's something different. And for the guys that are really nervous about self-injection, so things like Cavaject and Trimix, where you've actually got to put a needle through the skin, these sorts of medications offer an alternative to them. And, you know, probably then I would suggest that the intraurethral gels aren't quite as effective. They might take a little longer to kick in, and there's a technique you've got to get right to make sure that you give them every chance to work. But the point is, again, Warwick, that there's another alternative to being locked into this pattern of having to do an injection into the penis, or, you know, the tablets aren't working as well as they should be. You've tried a film, no, it didn't work as well either. Before you go to injecting the penis with medication, you could actually try the intraurethral gels. And this is a bit historical, and there's probably not a lot of listeners that would be familiar with this, but there was a product called Muse, M-U-S-E. It was an intraurethral pellet that was inserted into the urethra of the penis. This is more than 30 years ago now, and it contained the drug. And again, it sort of allowed the drug to diffuse out of that pellet and by osmosis move into the cavernosal tissue of the penis to cause the erection. It was discontinued a long, long time ago, and we really didn't have a lot of options in that intraurethral sense until the gels were started to be used again in the last couple of years. So again, another option that guys have got. And then there's some really interesting stuff that's happening overseas. We're just looking at how it's all going around topical application of drugs. So drug applied to the external surface of the penis, to the glands of the penis, and even nasal sprays. And we do know that for some of the guys with erectile dysfunction, even in Australia now, they're using different types of nasal sprays to augment, you know, the effect of the tablet and to assist guys to get better erections. And again, it's another fairly novel way of getting the drug into the body. But again, it's a fairly effective way of doing it that's non-invasive, particularly when you compare it to injecting into the penis. I guess the only other thing I'd say, Warwick, is with the injections, there's a lot of different injections. You know, often we see the guys talking about Cavaject. Cavaject is a proprietary product made again by Pfizer, and it's been really hard to get. It's been in and out of stock for years, but it's a single drug in there that you can inject, and if it works, okay, great. And if it doesn't work as you wish, like it's too much or it's not enough to get the desired result, then unfortunately it might not be the one for you. So again, through the use of compounding, and compounding's a lot of pharmacies compound, but only very few pharmacies do really specialized, high quality, sterile compounding.
Can you explain, sorry, Brad? I think what is compounding? Just to back up a fraction, sorry.
Yeah, of course. So compounding provides a solution to doctors and to patients that's way more specialized. The whole premise of compounding is either one of two things. One, it allows you to get a medication that doesn't exist in a proprietary product, and that might be, you know, some obscure drug that, it might be a drug that exists in a tablet form that doesn't exist in a liquid. But because you can't swallow the tablet, it needs to be in a liquid. Or it might exist in a tablet, but it needs to be applied as a cream. So that would be a fairly basic form of compounding. And you go to the chemist and they might have to make you a cream for sunspots because the cream that the doctor wants you to use doesn't exist in a normal product. Therefore, we make it up, or a pessary or a suppository. So really basic, this is the drug that I need you to use. It doesn't exist in a normal preparation at the chemist. Therefore, we have to make it.
Yeah, so and it's then, when the pharmacist is custom making the medication, like he's mixing up the different chemicals and making it. Yeah,
exactly right. The other reason that's probably the main reason people would use a compounded preparation. The other reason is that we want to optimize the way that the drug works and for a multitude of different reasons, the proprietary products that are available, they don't exist, so therefore we have to put them in a compounded product. So, and I guess the really good example of this, particularly in a men's health space, is with these injections, the intracavernosal or penile injections. So now you've got this Cavaject that you can buy at the chemist, but you know it only allows you to do fixed doses. You can only do 2.5 micrograms or 5 micrograms. Like, you're very much locked into fixed doses, and that's not for everybody. Some people react more strongly to a medication than others. Some people have side effects to the medication and therefore need it to be adjusted a little bit so that they can tolerate it and therefore use it. So the compound specialized compound chemist or laboratory can make it according to the doctor's special recipe. It's a bit like the Colonel's 9 herbs and spices. You know, it's a secret recipe that not many people know that allow a solution to be found for a patient that otherwise wouldn't exist. So the Trimix, as an example, Trimix is one of these injections for the penis. It's got 3 drugs in it at different ratios, and they can be, there can be a lot of different ratios depending on what the doctor wants to do. And the doctor prescribes it. The script goes to the very specialized chemist and it gets prepared for the patient so that there's a solution for them that otherwise doesn't exist that helps them tolerate the medication better. By using these medications, these compounded medications, we can get the patients, you know, infinitely better results. I think there's a general belief that compounded medications are more expensive than proprietary medications, and certainly that would be true for some of them, yes. But if you look at a lot of the stuff that we're using in the men's health space, it's actually more cost-effective to have the compounded preparation than the proprietary ones. If you look at the inject if you look at the injectables, for example, Trimix works out at often it's about $7 to $10 a dose compared to the proprietary products like Cavaject, which are more like $25 a dose. So, you know, sometimes compounding can allow the patient a more cost-effective option or way to access their medication.
Right. So some of this, you know, it sounds fairly cutting edge, the wafers under the tongue and things like that. So would the normal urologist or GP be aware of all of these? Like if I go to them and said, I want the Viagra, but I want it in the wafer, because that's probably how I'm going to explain it. Are they going to know what I'm talking about?
Not necessarily. I guess the thing with the general practitioners, God bless them, is they've got to know everything. So they don't just know about erectile health. And in fact, they might only talk erectile health with one or two patients a week. It's tricky for them because they may not necessarily be across it. And when it comes to the compounded options, these alternative dose forms we're talking about, they're really cutting edge. And unless you've got patients using them, you know, you're not necessarily going to be across it. And interestingly, you know, Men's Health Down Under works with a lot of urologists, and the only way that the urologists learn about this stuff typically is when we actually give them what we call a therapeutic update. So we send out an update every now and again to them so that they can be aware of changes in our industry, because, you know, whilst the urologists have got conferences that they go to learn about, you know, new treatments and surgical techniques and solutions for incontinence, you know, where they're putting a device in or penile prosthesis, the pharmaceutical side of things, largely that they are largely unfamiliar with, and unless somebody tells them and explains it to them, it can be very foreign to them, because that's not their bread and butter. And I suppose as a pharmacist, like I said before, I get to geek out a bit here, because this is one of our pet topics. You know, this is the stuff we do, this is the stuff we love doing, and it gives us the opportunity to really tailor a solution to a patient. And and I guess to present to the GP and say, I'd like to try this thing I heard about the other day on a podcast that comes in an oral film, the GP is going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. So, you know, probably the sensible thing to do is have a yarn with us first, get in touch, have a yarn, and tell us what you're thinking, or ask us more questions, and we can give you more information and prepare a little note for the doctor so that they do understand what you're talking about. Because the last thing you want to do is either A, embarrass the doctor because, you know, they feel like they should know this stuff, and they absolutely shouldn't. This is not something I would expect a general practitioner or a urologist to know about. We don't want to embarrass them and have them say, no, look, I can't do it. So get in touch and we can help prepare a little letter so that we can explain to the doctor what the story is. And if need be, they can give us a call to seek further clarification on what it is. And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that these guys are doing now with combinations of Viagras and Cialis, where you can put both drugs in the wafer, because we know that Viagra kicks in quickly, where Cialis has got a long duration of action. So there's all sorts of really cool stuff going on with these medications and the way that we can prepare them to make sure that the patients are getting, you know, not only a satisfactory outcome, but, you know, the best possible outcome.
Fantastic, Brad. Thanks again. It's been a really interesting topic, and I think yet again, you've got a lot of information that I think people aren't going to get anywhere else, and I think really important information. Some of the stuff you've talked about here today, like you said, it's probably a lot of the GPs and urologists might know about it. So if people do want to get in contact with you or other pharmacists at Men's Health Down Under, how do they go about doing that?
Yep. I mean, look, probably the simple way is get on the telephone and give us a call, 1-300-006-438. That'll come through to the office, and if we don't answer, leave a message. And look, I guess if it's less pressing, get in touch on the email, info@menshealthdownunder.com.au. The social channels are fine as well, so you can come through Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or Twitter, and we'll pick up those messages and come back to you, particularly where it's non-urgent, and you can arrange to have a chat with us. They're the sensible ways to get in touch. Yep.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time, Brad.
Thanks, Warwick.
Some of the information in this podcast may be of a medical nature. including discussions about medical conditions, treatments, and other insights related to patients' experiences. The opinions and advice articulated in the podcast are intended to be general in nature and do not constitute specific medical advice or opinion. Please refer to your own doctor or healthcare team or one of the Men's Health Down Under practitioners if you have a specific question or concern.